Well, it's great. It's really good to be here. It's really good to come and to worship with you here tonight. Now, right up front, I need to make a confession. And my confession is that I have a type A personality. I thought the 10 minutes might have struggled with it, but it didn't seem like 10 minutes. Was that shorter or something tonight? No, that's it. So that was good. That's good. So the reality is I am an activist. I'm a pragmatic person. I like to do things the right way. I don't like to let people down. And I strive to fulfil expectations, even if those expectations are my own, the ones I put on myself. On the one hand, this type of personality that I have is great because it allows me to get a lot of things done and it has served me well in my life and ministry. But on the other hand, I found that if I'm not careful, I can easily slip into a drivenness mode. And when I'm in that mode, it's very easy for me to miss the special and the unique moments of life. In the midst of this driven mode, I often miss important cues in conversations and relationships. I sometimes fail to offer compassion when someone is struggling or rejoice and celebrate right in those moments when someone shares good news. Now, because I know this about myself, I've worked at adopting certain rhythms and practices in my life to help me slow down, that help me connect with God, that help me gain a clearer perspective on life and the needs and concerns of other people. My rhythms include, I have daily rhythms, they include stopping by at a cafe before I go into work and grabbing a coffee, but sitting there for as long as I can, to reading the scripture, journaling, and praying. I make sure that I have a day of rest, the Sabbath day, once a week. And quarterly, I put in my diary to have prayer days. And usually, at least once a year, mostly more times than once a year, I have an annual spiritual retreat or biannual spiritual retreats. And my rhythms and disciplines have served me well over the years. However, the reality is, at times, I have to work hard at not making these rhythms and disciplines a task in and of themselves. At other times, I'm easily distracted and I can find more important or urgent things to do instead of my regular spiritual rhythms. In that sense, I find I resonate a fair bit with the character of Martha in the gospel story tonight. I'm sure that all of us here tonight, depending on our personality, depending on our experiences in life, resonate either with Martha or Mary in some way, shape or form. We either lean towards an activism or towards contemplation. I don't think the passage is telling us that one type of personality is better than the other. Rather, I think it's telling us that the ways of God's kingdom are different to the ways of this world. In this story, I find an invitation to prioritise God's ways. I find an invitation to connect with God in order to advance his kingdom and to live out our God-given calling. The concept of the kingdom of God was an important concept for the Jewish people in the first century. It represented their hopes for a better life, and it also represented their ideas around the work and the function of the Messiah. Primarily, they expected a Messiah who would come and usher in the kingdom of God, one who would come and liberate them from their oppressors, in their case, the Romans, and evict the Romans, throw them out of the country, establish his reign and rule, and in the process, restore Israel into the superpower they were in the golden era when King David reigned supreme. So when Jesus talked about the kingdom of God, he immediately attracted attention and drew a crowd. But it didn't take the crowd long to be disappointed with this message about the kingdom of God, or his kingdom as Jesus saw it. The reason being that he had a very, very different perspective to the kingdom of God, one contrary to their hopes and expectations. When Jesus talked about the kingdom of God, he spoke of an upside-down, inside-out kingdom, a kingdom where the first would be last and the last would be first, a kingdom where servants would be raised up and earthly kings would be brought down low, a kingdom where all the social, political, national and religious boundaries would be removed or at least extended. Jesus talked about a kingdom of inclusion, acceptance, grace, forgiveness. His kingdom represented a new way, a new agenda for life and for the value system of the world. When Jesus talked about the kingdom of God, he talked about a great reversal taking place. In relation to our Bible passage, we need to look at this story, I think, from a macro context of Jesus' understanding of the kingdom of God. But we also need to view it in the more immediate context of the theme of hospitality, shown in the travel narrative between chapters 9 and 17 of Luke's Gospel. From the outset, Jesus says that those who follow him must make this journey, that is, going the direction that he is going, which we know was a journey that would take him via the cross, to make this journey, take this direction as a priority in their lives. Then we have the introduction of the hospitality theme, as interpreted through Jesus' kingdom lens. Jesus sends out 72 with no provision for the journey and insists that they depend on the hospitality of those in the towns who welcome them, who should welcome them. Immediately preceding the story of Martha, Jesus stopping at Martha's home, Jesus tells a story of a man on a journey who is beaten and left to die. He is saved by an unexpected merciful neighbour. We know this story is the story of the Good Samaritan. And the story of the Good Samaritan highlights kingdom hospitality or divine hospitality, this concept of loving strangers, of being loving those who are different, who are generally unwelcomed by others. Now let's skip over our story, the story of Mary and Martha, and go to the following story in chapter 11. In this story, the disciples question Jesus about prayer and ask Jesus to teach them about prayer. And Jesus, he does some teaching around prayer, and then he tells a story. He tells a story of where a man went to his friend's house in the middle of the night to get some bread. And as he knocks on the door and wakes this man up, his friend refuses to give hospitality. He refuses to help him out in his time of need. But the friend is consistent and he's persistent, and he keeps knocking and knocking and knocking. And because of his persistence, because of his insistence, his friend demanding that the cultural values of the day be honoured, and despite the inconvenience, this man gets up and helps him out and gives him the bread. Whilst the point in this story is persistence, or other, there could be some other themes there, the theme of hospitality is clearly in play here. It's an important part of the story. Hospitality is a prominent theme throughout Luke's Gospel, and it would seem on the surface that Jesus' treatment of Martha is at odds with the priority and the significance attached to this theme. However, Jesus' explanation represents a radical reversal in relation to societal expectations. The coupling of the story of the Good Samaritan and Mary and Martha is a particularly interesting coupling. These accounts are meant to challenge us to think about the social rules our society adheres to, and the scripts that we're all supposed to be following. In the first century context, Samaritans were half-blood enemies to be despised and avoided. Women were not to be disciples. They were not to have an active intellectual life. They were not to interact with men outside of their families. And they were certainly not to sit at the feet of the famous rabbi when dinner needed to be prepared. The Good Samaritan and Mary were not following the scripts society had written for them. And Jesus commends them. He commends them both by making them the heroes of the stories. The first lesson of the story then is this, that the rules of the kingdom and the rules of our society are not the same. There is an equality, a justice, a fairness in the kingdom that does not yet exist in our society. So Jesus turns the issue of fairness upside down and inside out. Was he being fair to Martha? Well, from a first century context and according to the social expectations, absolutely not. Absolutely not. But looking at it in the context of the journey metaphor, kingdom theology and divine hospitality, becomes clear that Martha is distracted and needed to sort out her priorities. Mary's priorities were clear and she is commended. Martha, on the other hand, is worried and upset about many different things. Martha is acting like the would-be disciples we find in chapter 9 of Luke's Gospel. They come to Jesus and they want to follow Jesus. They want to go on the journey that Jesus is taking. But they made excuses when Jesus says, well, come then, let's go. They made excuses about why they couldn't follow him immediately. One says, let me go back and bury my parents. In other words, let me wait for them to die. Let me wait for my parents to die, then I'll come. Another wanted to go back and said, he said, look, I'll come, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my friends and have a bit of a farewell party if we can. And Jesus is not interested with these guys. He's not interested. He basically says to them, if you want to follow me, you need to stay focused. You need to move forward. You need to see the big picture. You need to work out your priorities and where I fit in relation to your priorities. He has the same message for the disciples when they argue with one another about who's going to sit at Jesus' left and his right in the kingdom of God. It's the same message he has to them when they argue with one another about who's going to be the greatest in his kingdom. Jesus urges them not to be distracted by these things. Now, I think this is still a major issue for us today. There are plenty of things in life that are vying for our attention when it comes to the ways of the kingdom. When it comes to following Jesus, we can be just as distracted as any of the disciples, and our priorities can be just as confused. Martha, I think sometimes she gets a bad rap. She wasn't bad. She wasn't a bad person. Mary wasn't any better. But on this occasion, Mary had gotten her priorities right, and Martha, on this occasion, was distracted. Mary is commended and Martha is corrected. Only one thing is required, Jesus says to Martha. The lesson is not just that busy people are too busy and should slow down, or that busy people can get disoriented, get so disoriented that they make bad decisions. Now, they might be true. We may need to slow down and we may make bad decisions when we're overly busy. But it's not the lesson. The lesson is one of priorities. One thing is needed, and when we get that right, all the other things follow. That one thing is surely God, the centrality of God, the centrality of Jesus in our lives, in our hearts, and a commitment to keep walking in Jesus' direction. When God is our priority, then quality time with others, discernment about when to act and when to be still, these things will naturally follow. Martha chose the many parts, but Mary chose the one part that was best of all. By setting aside everything else to sit at the Master's feet and to listen, Mary exemplifies what it means to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, I'm sure the folks who set up the lectionary reading for today would agree with this. The other lessons remind us of the need to set aside time to listen to God through the study of His Word. Amos speaks of the end of the world as a time when God will send a famine through the land, not a famine of food or thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. People will stagger, he says, from sea to sea, to wander from north to east, searching for the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. The Apostle Paul, in the lectionary passage of Colossians 1, spoke of the absolute centrality of Christ, through whom and for whom all things were created, and of our need to continue in the faith, established and firm, not moving from the hope held out in the gospel. In other words, these writers were all saying that to get God right in our lives, we have to put him first and put the practices in our lives to keep him there in that place. To all the busy Marthas in the world, of which I am one, I've confessed that right up front, Jesus has a word for us that was intended to make us stop in our tracks and to think. You are upset and frazzled and distracted by many things, but remember only one thing is needed. Seek me as your priority. Seek first my kingdom. Love me, and you will surely love your neighbour. You will surely walk in my ways.